Light beer, dark money. Agree on something. Politics, culture, and the intersection of faith, freedom, and free enterprise. And now, live from the Star Worldwide Network studios, here are your hosts, Light Beer, Chris Clements, and Dark Money, Sean Noble.
Welcome back to another episode of Light Beer, Dark Money. I'm Sean Noble.
And I'm Chris Clements.
And I am the first to admit when I am wrong.
What? You are?
Yep.
Really?
Yes, I was wrong. Last week I talked about, I said that any of the Republican candidates would be, well, they would all be better than Joe Biden, but any of them could beat Joe Biden.
Yes, you did say that.
And
we actually got a lot of reaction online about that.
Yeah, I'm sure we did. Apparently, I was wrong on one. Based on a new poll that's out, it shows that all of the leading candidates on the Republican side beat Joe Biden, except for Vivek Ramaswamy.
Kamala.
Ramaswamy does not. He's down one to Biden. Now that doesn't mean that he wouldn't eventually beat him, but
yeah, but he's not really running for president. We've said that before.
Yeah.
He's running for.
You can't
I don't know
be the guy who
for.
Says. Donald Trump was the greatest president of the 21st century and be running against him legitimately.
It's sort of like he's just standing in for Trump. That's just what he's doing. He's just going to pair it wherever.
You think he was just Trump's proxy?
I think he's Trump's proxy in many regards. Because right after the debate, going back, Trump like leveled all sorts of praise on him.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
And everybody else he criticized.
Yeah.
So you got to think that he's just his proxy. On the debate stage, we have another debate coming up.
At yeah,
the
we do.
Reagan,
but going
library.
Back to this poll,
yeah,
the person who is the best performer against Biden, no surprise to me, Nikki Haley.
Really,
Nikki Haley. Yep.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's in part she's a woman and she's a woman of color and she is also super smart.
She is very smart. Well, she had a
successful governor.
She had a good debate performance.
Yeah, she had a good debate performance.
She got a nice bump on
her. She's got foreign policy chops. And this then leads to, you know, talking about the difference between where Nikki Haley comes down on the role of America in the world versus what Ramaswamy's view is, which is the isolationism of Howard Taft. Pence did a speech a couple days ago in which he said, we have to make a choice between, the GOP needs to make a choice between conservatism and populism. And I think that was a pretty good framing of the question.
It's been the correct framing for some time. And I mean, I'm glad he finally said it. I'm glad somebody finally said it.
Because Trump is not, I mean, what I try to tell people is Trump's not a conservative.
No, he never has been.
He is a populist.
He's been a lifetime Democrat.
Yes.
He had Bill and Hillary Clinton at his wedding.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
You know.
And Pence's words were the siren song of populism.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty well done.
Well, it goes back to even what we've talked about before, and that is, you know, Donald Trump did a lot of good things for the country from a policy standpoint, but those policies were not his own.
No.
They were prescribed by people that he'd put around him, including a Mike Pence, a Mike Pompeo, and others, who had a lot more history and a lot more... shall we say, intellectual heft in the conservative movement to pursue those policies.
Right.
And Donald Trump was not that guy.
Well, I mean, you think about what Donald Trump campaigned on.
And I know that's controversial. People lose their noodle over that, but that's the truth.
I mean, the stuff he campaigned on in 2016, primarily the wall, right? We're going to build
the wall. He never did it.
He never actually did it.
No.
I mean, he built part of it, but Mexico never paid for it.
No.
But the stuff that did happen, now he did... He did put out a list of the judges that he would appoint, so that was a positive,
and he followed through on that. But a lot of that, again,
but
was
that was
Mike
only
Pence
possible
in the Federalist Society.
But that was only possible because of Mitch McConnell.
Yes, who he hates,
which is crazy. Mitch McConnell did more to help Donald Trump succeed in the judicial appointment process than any single individual.
Bar none.
Conservatives can complain all they want about Mitch McConnell. That guy's legacy is going to be astounding when you look at what look at the makeup of the Supreme Court and what that's going to do for generations to come.
Well, and the federal judgeships as well.
Yeah.
I mean, they got through over 250 judges to the federal bench. I mean, unprecedented numbers. So Mitch, despite his failings in some other areas, when it comes to the judiciary, he's tremendous. Yeah.
But to your point, Pence was the driver of the policy stuff that was very successful. And
people balk at that. Yeah. And I'm like, listen, it's Donald Trump did not come up with any of that on his own. His internal staff was a mess, remember?
Well, keep in mind the big thing that Donald Trump was pushing.
Remember
the
mooch?
Wall?
What a complete clown.
Well, the big thing that Donald Trump pushed was this whole criminal justice reform stuff.
And it's been a complete disaster.
And then pardoning a bunch of
people. That
was
the Kim Kardashian criminal justice reform. Yeah. Now, there are a lot of faith-based groups that were behind that as well. And they thought that a lot of it would be a good idea. There's some good ideas there in terms of forgiveness but it's completely backfired because we've let out all these different criminals who are recriminalizing.
Right. Right. So here's this is a quote from the article. Pence argued in his remarks that populism and conservatism were two competing visions for the future of the GOP, and that the Republicans in 2024 must reject what he described as the siren song of populism if they want to be the party of the Constitution.
Yeah. I can't disagree with that.
Because Trump wanted to throw the Constitution out the window.
You know what? Democrats aren't really happy with Joe Biden either.
That is true.
You know, that same poll, 82% of Democrats would prefer somebody else running for president than Joe Biden. 82%. They've acknowledged the fact that, okay, he's going to be the nominee, provided that, you know, he runs from the basement of the White House. But 82% would rather have someone else.
That is amazing.
That's
such
incredible.
A huge number.
That's incredible. It just goes to show the point you've made before, and that is there's no bench there right now.
Right. And you know, you have the latest buzz that I've been hearing is, you've got Newsom and Kamala now kind of
jockeying,
you know, the two San Francisco, California, you know, folks. That's going to be interesting, but
so
I'm telling
I saw,
you, don't rule out a Michelle Obama, October surprise.
Oh, I think you're right on
and
that.
And maybe it's not October. Maybe it'll be like a March surprise.
Yeah, I think you're right on that because the shadow government is being run by Barack, for sure.
Yeah.
And he's going to do everything he can to put Michelle in there.
He's the only modern president. Actually, the only president I don't know how far back you have to go. The only former president that has stayed in Washington, D.C.
For a purpose, for explicit purpose. To direct the
To
deep
be in
state.
Charge.
Well, I mean, during the Trump years. I mean, everything that was happening behind the scenes with the Russia, with the deep state, you have to think Obama had a play in that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was his Justice Department that was investigating.
Absolutely.
That was spying on the Trump campaign.
And they were loyal to him.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
Newt Gingrich has an interesting article in the American Spectator called American Despotism. We are faced with a totalitarian cancer that will have to be confronted and defeated at every level. And it, you know, takes straight aim at Obama.
Mm.
Straight aim at Obama.
I'm going to have to read that one.
Yeah.
Newt is an interesting character. Smart, smart man.
Scary smart. But has his own demons, obviously. You were there during a very tumultuous time for Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, yeah. It was, I mean, look, he brought us to the promised land, but as there were some that said, and I remember Ernie Istook, congressman from Oklahoma, He was big. We've been in the desert for 40 years, just like Moses led the Israelites in the desert for 40 years, and we're going into the promised land. And then a couple years later, he's like, you know, Moses wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. Maybe we shouldn't have Newt go into the promised land with us. Because Newt, a speaker, yeah, it wasn't great.
Well, and then Bill Clinton co-opted all of our policies.
Right. But the challenge is that Newt was the one who, it was Newt's vision that got Republicans the majority in 1994.
Yeah, and then his own hubris, consumed
it. But so he didn't, I mean, he had to be, how is he not going to be the speaker? So.
Listen, I've met Speaker Gingrich a couple times in a more educational setting. I did this leadership course through the Young Presidents Organization, YPO, where we went through situational leadership at Gettysburg. Mm-hmm. And we actually walked all over Gettysburg and did Pickett's Charge and all the different decisions that went into different generals doing what they did. And then we had a debrief the next morning with Newt Gingrich.
Wow.
It was unbelievable, and I felt completely ignorant.
Well, I mean, look, he was a history professor before he was a politician.
Yeah, so and specifically the Civil War is one of his specialties.
Yeah.
So it was tremendous. So I'll give him that.
Yeah, it will be. So we've got the next debate. Well, we're what, 3 weeks away from the next debate?
Yeah, the Reagan Library. The
Reagan Library. Looks like the only two that are not going to be. So there were eight on the stage before. It doesn't look like Burgum or Hutchison are going to make the stage again.
Well, I ask you again, what were they running for? You know,
I think Asa and Burgum were actually, they were the...
They really believed that they were going to cut through the serious momentum that even, I mean, Nikki Haley had been on the trail for a long time. She announced a while ago. Pence obviously was going to announce, and he gained traction almost immediately amongst the traditional conservative Republican wing. Both of them are kind of in that lane. And then the good governor of Florida. I mean, he didn't announce till what, April, May, but he had a huge war chest.
Right.
What did they think they were going to do?
Well, it's you just never know. I mean, who would have ever guessed? Now, a lot of our listeners are probably younger. There are some that are older. So the older ones will remember this. 1992, Bill Clinton came out of nowhere.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, he was, small state, Arkansas, what? I mean, the comeback
kid. Well, and with a ton of baggage.
Yeah.
Jennifer Flowers and the whole nine thing. Yards. And I mean, how he got elected shows how weak George Bush was.
Well, but how he got the nomination is the more interesting story. Because he was a bottom tier candidate.
Yeah.
Until right as things were happening.
Yeah. What was the turning point in that nomination? Do you remember?
Well, Cuomo collapsed.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Surprise, and he was the heir apparent. He was going to be the one who's, just like Hillary was in 2015-16. Exactly.
There's just something about New York Democrats.
They don't translate well to the rest
not
of the country.
Not since FDR.
Yeah.
FDR's the last New York Democrat, right?
Yeah,
to be president?
So, yeah, they just don't translate well to the rest of the country.
What do you think? Because Kennedy was Massachusetts, Johnson, Texas, and then Carter, Georgia.
And Reagan, California.
Well, he was
Bush,
a Democrat.
Texas-ish.
Yeah. But none in New York. So interesting. Yeah.
Well, and New York is in deep, deep trouble right now because they're fighting over immigration.
Yes.
And they're New trying Yorkers to blame. The governor's blaming the mayor of New York. The mayor of New York is blaming the governor. Right. They're both trying to blame Biden. Biden is nowhere to be found.
Nope.
Dick Durbin from the state of Illinois said he wrote a letter to President Biden back in May. Regarding the immigration crisis, saying that we need to get a hold of this as a party, we need to get a hold of this as administration, we need to do something, or else we're going to get our clocks cleaned on this in all these different states that are now hemorrhaging with illegals.
Yeah.
You know what response he got?
Zip. No response.
Birds chirping.
And right now, illegal immigrants sleeping on the floor of police stations in Chicago.
Oh, I'm sure. not just a Texas problem, not just an Arizona problem. Nope. We're shipping our issues right to you.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
If you want to be a sanctuary state, sanctuary city, great.
Yeah,
have at it.
Have at it.
And they're complaining about 20,000 individuals. You know how many people are going to cross the Arizona border this year? Oh, hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands. Hundreds of thousands. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the truth is they come to Phoenix and then they get shipped elsewhere, which is unfortunate because so much of it is human trafficking and child trafficking.
Yeah. It's a problem and it needs to be fixed. Yeah.
Well, you're not going to fix it with a wide open border. Where is
I mean,
Sandy Cortez and her white cloths, you know, crying at the border.
The border.
Where is she?
They have welded the gates
open down in Yuma. Yeah.
It's welded them open.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
I don't know why I'm laughing, because it is horrific.
And yet Corinne Jean-Pierre, world's worst press secretary, says that Joe Biden is no one has done more to secure the border than Joe Biden. It's just gaslighting at this point. And that's
100%.
And that's why you see over 80% of Democrats saying we need somebody else. Yeah. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And Democrats are getting worse, regardless of the Trump stuff.
The other gaslighting thing is that how she talks about how, we have a hard time keeping up with him. He's just working us so hard. He's doing jumping jacks in the back room. He's skipping down the West Wing.
Every single day, and we're a broken record on this issue, every single day shows that Joe Biden is incapable of doing the job.
Yeah.
Physically, mentally, probably emotionally as well. He's just... You know, they try to portray him as this empathetic figure. He's not.
He's not.
He's one of the biggest jerks that ever...
The dude can't
ever inhabited the White House.
It took him how long to say anything about Maui?
Oh,
anything a week? Of substance.
And then he went there and comparing what happened to a kitchen fire.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You know, the mainstream media has tried to ignore it, but it's going to get played over and over and over again during the election, no matter who the nominee is.
Okay, last point.
Last point,
wrap up today.
We're getting the hook.
Last point, and this is just something to look forward in 2024. There were two special elections for congressional seats this week, one in Rhode Island, a primary, Democrat primary in Rhode Island, and then a Republican primary in Utah. In Rhode Island, there were a total of 39,000 ballots cast among the various candidates. The person who won with less than 13,000 votes. In Utah, there were more than 80,000 ballots cast.
Wow.
So that tells me that Republicans are a lot more motivated going into 2024 than Democrats.
Well, you can't be motivated with Joe Biden at the top of the ticket.
That's my point.
You can't.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of Republicans gave him a try because they disliked Trump and where the country was going.
Right.
But now you're seeing polling where Trump's beating Biden in some areas. The polling.
Well, this last CNN poll has Trump up one,
and then everybody except Vivek would beat Biden. If you're in the Democratic Party and you're down ballot, you're looking at that and saying, you know, we need to get a handle on the issues that are affecting the country because I need to be able to run on something other than the presidency.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Well, until next time, folks.
Yep. God bless.
Very much.
Thanks for listening.